I walk through a valley so dark and so low. The sun did not shine there, but a lily did grow. I cried to my Father, how can this be? He said, can you see, child? I am with thee. I am with thee. I am with thee. Through the fire, through the flood, you are covered by the blood, for I am with thee. I climbed up the mountain till I reached the top, and there sprang a fountain in a dry, barren spot. Again my heart questioned, my eyes could not see. Again Jesus whispered, I am with thee.
Enjoyed that good song. John chapter 19. John chapter 19. Gospel of John. Good to have Sarah's parents with us. Brother Ms. Ronson from out in New York. If you want to blame somebody for the snow, blame them. Amen. They are from the Buffalo area there, so they probably brought it with them. Anyway, John chapter 19 in the Gospel of John tonight. And we're going to read about four verses here. Actually, yep. 31 through 34 for our text this evening. And four times a year, pretty much every year, four times we gather around this table to remember the Lord Jesus, His body and His blood, which was given for our redemption. Let's stand together, please, in honor of the Word of God. Verse number 31, follow along. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll please bless this time as we gather around this table tonight. Thank you for this ordinance that you gave to the local church. And Lord, it means a lot when we assemble together as members of this body to remember what the head of this church did for us so that we could be saved. And so tonight, I pray that Jesus might be exalted, that it might draw us a little closer to Him and to what He did for us on Calvary. And God will be careful to thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you and be seated. Our hymn book is filled with songs that I love to sing. I mean dozens and dozens of them. However, there are a few select songs that probably have a little closer, a little more dear place in my heart than others. I love the song that we sing often at this ordinance when we observe it. called There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood. Maybe we can have the ladies play that tonight as we pass the juice. The Bible says in this passage in verse number 34 that when the soldier pierced the side of Jesus, forthwith came there out blood and water. So the soldiers had broken the legs of the two thieves that were crucified on either side of Jesus. When they came to Christ, they saw that He was dead already. And the Bible says that one of the soldiers took a spear and he raised that spear. Now, he was operating, humanly speaking, according to procedure. Divinely speaking, he was operating according to prophecy. Messianic prophecy. And so he raised his spear, and with the force of his powerful muscles, he punctured the side of Jesus Christ. He was already dead. Now, pardon me, I don't mean to be graphic, but if you've ever cleaned or, for lack of a better word, gutted a dead animal, especially one of any size like a deer, you know the sound of a knife puncturing the skin and the sinew and the sound of the air escaping the body cavity. You know what that sounds like. The only thing is, when the soldier pierced the body cavity of Jesus Christ, blood and water came gushing forth. Now, humanly speaking, the soldier opened a gaping wound that gave proof positive that Jesus was dead. Divinely speaking, when the soldier pierced his spear into the side of Jesus Christ, he opened a fountain filled with blood. When the soldier pierced the side of Jesus, number one, a fountain was opened. Now, the Old Testament sacrifices were only a temporary solution for the sin problem. It was like going to the well and drawing another bucket of water. Every day of atonement, the high priest would go to the well, if you will, if you let me use that analogy. He would go to the well of another sacrificial lamb and draw up enough blood to put upon the mercy seat there at the Ark of the Covenant that would cover the sin of the people for one more year. And then the next year, on the same day, he would repeat the same process. And then the next year, on the same day, repeat the same process. He would go back to that well and draw another bucket of sacrificial blood. The blood of an animal, a bull or a goat or a sheep. Some kind of blood from an animal. But people, God never ordained that the blood of bulls and goats was to be the permanent answer to the washing away of man's sin. That was always a picture. It was always a promissory note that one day the Lamb of God Himself would come. And that's exactly what happened. The priest could go to that well again and again, year after year after year. And how many thousands of years of history in the Old Testament did the priest do that? Then on that cross, the moment the soldier's spear pierced Jesus' side, that fountain of blood was open. And it has continued to flow, and no other sacrifice for sin has ever had to be made. When that fountain was open, priest, you can put away your sacrificial knives. When that fountain was open, priest, you can put away your bowls and your basins. When that fountain was open, priest, you can put away the veil, take down the veil that was ripped in two that separated the common man from the presence of God. Priest, you can put away your sin offering goat and your scapegoat that was taken to the wilderness and set free. You can put all of those Old Testament elements of blood sacrifice away because now there is a fountain open that continues to flow. No other sacrifice needs to be made. The book of Hebrews makes that clear, abundantly clear, that Jesus once for all, offered the sacrifice that would cleanse away man's sin. So first of all, when the soldier pierced the side of Jesus, a fountain was opened. Let me say number two tonight, the fountain that flowed came from Emmanuel's veins, like the song says. There is a fountain filled with blood that was drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Verse number 33, the Bible says, but when they came to Jesus. Now, people, that name is important. No other veins could have supplied the blood that those veins supplied. The veins had to be that of Emmanuel's. You know what Emmanuel means, right? God with us. That's exactly who Jesus was. He was God in human flesh. So when he walked upon the earth, it was God with us. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3 tells us that God was with us in the person of Jesus Christ because Jesus was the express image of God's person. John chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us that Jesus was full of glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28, the Bible tells us that Jesus' veins carried pure blood, holy blood, because they carried the blood of God, His Father, in His veins. So it had to be that Emmanuel's veins were opened. It had to be the fountain had to come from the veins of Emmanuel. So when the soldier pierced the side, the fountain was open. When the soldier pierced the side, the blood had to come from Emmanuel's veins. Let me say this tonight. When the soldier pierced the side of Jesus, the fountain was opened that could wash all our sins away. I love singing songs about the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the Bible teaches us, friend, that the blood of Jesus, when that fountain was opened, the blood of Jesus, the blood that came from Emmanuel's veins, was powerful enough to remove our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. And I love the fact that God specified those directions. We've talked about this before. He did not say north and south, because that distance can be measured. You can start from here in Bourbonnais, Illinois. You can go to the North Pole, and it may be difficult, but you can measure that distance. You can start from here, and you can go to the South Pole, and you can measure that distance. The distance from North Pole to South Pole is a measurable distance, because you can only go so far south before you start going north again. And you can only go so far north before you start going south again. But the Bible didn't say north and south. The Bible said east and west. As far as the east is from the west. Well, how far is the east from the west? Well, I don't know. Let's start going east and let's find out how far we can go east until we all of a sudden go west. And we can start from here in Bourbonnais and start walking east. And we can keep walking east and 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 we'll never go west. And when we get all the way do the whole circumference of the globe and come back to Bourbonnais, we've walked east the whole way. So let's try it a second time. You can walk the globe again and go east the whole way. Well, let's see how far west is from east. You could go west and you can do the same thing. Start walking west and walk all the way west and keep walking west and keep walking. How do you measure the distance from east to west? It's immeasurable. You can't measure it. What is that distance? It's unknown because there is no measurable distance from east to west. And the Scripture did not make any mistake when it used the directions of east and west instead of north and south, because when the blood of Jesus was shed on Calvary, it washed our sins away and removed them from us as far as the east is from the west. That's a long way. Boy, Satan loves to use your sin against you, doesn't he? Loves to beat you over the head with it. We need to keep short accounts with God. None of us goes through life. None of us goes through a day without having our relationship with Jesus tested because of our sin. I'm glad He doesn't take us to the woodshed every time we disappoint Him. But friend, we don't want to let those things... But friend, I'm going to tell you something. as far as our sin debt is concerned. We have to keep our sins confessed and keep our relationship, the relationship of fellowship open and right with God. But as far as the sin position, the sin debt, that was removed from us as far as the east is from the west. That's what that fountain does. Something else, though, that fountain not only washes our sins away, but as the song says, that fountain washes away all of our guilty stain. People, do you understand that we don't just have a sin nature? Our nature's been stained by sin. You ladies ever have a hard time getting a stain out of something? I don't know how I managed to do it, but I managed to pick up more stains on my clothes, shirts, and sometimes pants, and it's just difficult sometimes for my wife to wash the stain away. I know there's all kinds of little tricks you can use, and I guess thank God for Pinterest. It's always Pinterest. You can go on Pinterest, find out how to get this stain out and get that stain out. And sometimes you can just stain something. Oils sometimes stain so that you can't get them out. Blood's not easy to get out. Red dyed drinks are not easy to get out. They're difficult. They sink themselves into the fabric, if you will, the fiber and the woof of the fabric of the woven, and it gets in there and it's just there. And sin has stained our nature. We lie by nature. We're disobedient by nature. We're selfish by nature. It's not just that we sin against God, do these things. It's in our nature. Those stains. Ah, but thank the good Lord when Jesus Christ died and the fountain of blood was opened on that cross. It not only removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. That blood has the power to wash the stain away. That's why the songwriter wrote, sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. They lose it. Now, losing something means you can't find it. You can hide something and you know where it is, but when you lose something, you cannot put your hand on it. And hallelujah to God, 43 years ago tomorrow, my sins were not only forgiven and removed removed from me as far as the east is from the west, but my stain of sin was washed away. And when God looks at you and me, He looks at us in the perfect righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good deal. Now, I read a story some years ago about Rolls Royce. You read a story, I don't know, is it true? I don't know. Sounded good. And it was before the days of the internet, so it has to be true, right? So I read a story about a man who owned a Rolls Royce, and he went on a vacation, went on a trip, and drove down into France. And when he got down into France, his car broke down. Rolls Royce broke down. I mean, you could figure if you were driving a Ford, you would figure that would break down, amen, but his Rolls Royce broke down. It's out there in the middle of nowhere. He called the company, and He said, man, my car's broken down. And they said, no problem. We'll get a hold of the mechanic. We'll send the mechanic to fix it. We'll get you on the road again. And so he was there, and sure enough, a mechanic showed up to where he was, and they got the car. They got the car towed to the mechanic shop, and the mechanic fixed it, and the car was drivable and fixed so that the man could continue on his vacation. He went several weeks on his vacation there throughout France, and he got back to England. When he got done, got home, and going through his mail, he expected to find a large bill from Rolls-Royce. Figured it would be pretty expensive. There was no bill there. And so he called the Rolls-Royce company, and he said, listen, I was on vacation in France 3 or 4 weeks ago, and my Rolls-Royce broke down, and I was looking for the bill. I'm home now, and there's no bill here. And the man was quiet for a few moments, and when he came back on the line, he said to the man, he said, sir, we have no record of your car ever breaking down. Have a good day. Did his car break down? Yep. Did they send somebody to fix it? Yep. But they have such a reputation and such a name, they didn't even want to admit that the car had any mechanical problems that they had to send anybody to fix it. So there was no record of it breaking down. Now, friend, do you understand tonight? This is not just about being forgiven of sin. Do you understand tonight that in the eyes of God Almighty, because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you and I don't even have, in God's record, the stain of sin. We're justified. Just as if we'd never sinned. We don't use that as liberty or license to, because the relationship and fellowship with God can be broken and harmed and in bad condition because of our sin. But when it comes to our position in Jesus Christ, being positioned in Jesus Christ means that God has no record of our sin. I don't know how that translates for you. But sometimes the devil, you know, I went down to Georgia and I've enjoyed being there a little bit, not for the reason I was there, but when I went to preach for Brother Reed, it was just, it's good to be back in Georgia again and see some of the places that I have known and stopped at the Varsity in downtown Atlanta and ate a chili dog, two of them, and bought four fried pies, but I didn't eat all of them. I took two of them to my brother. I ate the other two. Been good to be in Georgia. But you know what Georgia does for me? Georgia brings back some bad memories. You know, right through downtown Atlanta, and I drive by the Georgia Tech Coliseum, and I remember rock and roll concerts, and people passed out on the grass, and people puking. A lot of fun. I remember all that. Boy, the old devil crawls up on your shoulder, doesn't he? Just starts beating you with it. But then I run to the Scripture. And I am reminded of the truth. That in God's record, that never happened. Never happened. Forgiven. But more than forgiven. Washed clean. All the guilty stain removed and gone. There was a fountain opened. The fountain that was opened was a fountain of blood that had to come from Emmanuel's vein. The fountain that was opened removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. The fountain that was opened took away all the guilty stain of our sin. In the sight of God, we are as pure as the driven snow. That's why we ought to live up to our position. Live up to your position, people. You're as holy in the sight of God as Jesus. Hard to believe, isn't it? In your position in Christ. And then let me say this last of all tonight. That fountain that was opened will keep us until we see Jesus. I mentioned that this morning. We are secure in our salvation. It is completed in Christ. Once for all. And it will do in your dying day. I remember Curtis Hudson talking about the song, There is a Fountain Filled with Blood. And he wanted the third verse or the fourth verse etched on his tombstone. There since by faith, and I won't remember all the words now. Talks about since that he saw the blood, flowing wounds supply. Redeeming blood has been my theme and will be till I die. You want to know when you're really going to appreciate the power of the blood of Christ? When you get close to drawing your last breath. And there's no worry. There's complete peace. And you can approach your dying day with sweet assurance, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And to die is gain. Gain. Now you think about that. When the world thinks of death, it always thinks of death as a negative, as a loss. And it is for those left behind. But for the one passing from this life to the next, death is gain. It's heaven. And we have that sweet assurance because of the fountain that was opened on Calvary in the blood of Jesus Christ. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. That's what we come to remember tonight. We come to remember the body that was pierced and the fountain that was open when Jesus died on the cross. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will take these simple thoughts tonight, please, and warm our hearts. May we be drawn tonight a little closer to Jesus because we spend these few moments together as a church family around this table. And God, we see where in your great wisdom, you ordained this ordinance so that our hearts might stay close to the one whose body was pierced, whose veins shed that blood and opened that fountain. God, help us to live in good relationship with you. I pray tonight that your Spirit, if necessary at this moment, will convict us of sin that we've not confessed. May we enter into this ordinance with a clean heart tonight. God, may you draw us closer to the Lord Jesus and to that fountain that was opened on the cross. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I wonder if there might be somebody here tonight, you've never taken that plunge into the fountain filled with blood. You don't know that you're saved. You're not sure if you died right now that your death, in fact, would be gain. And brother, if you're not saved, your death is loss. It's hell. But if you're saved, it's gain. It's heaven. Would there be one in our midst tonight who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm headed to heaven when I die. I don't know that I've ever been washed in the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, wherever you may be sitting? If that's you tonight, let me pray for you. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you pray for me, Pastor Angel? Anybody like that here tonight? If you need to come and use this altar just for a few minutes to talk to the Lord about the condition of your heart tonight, before we observe this ordinance, it's always open. Do it in your seat. Do it at the altar. But just make your heart in such a condition, folks, through the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, that you're able to enjoy this ordinance tonight and help it to be what God wants it to be. Father, bless, I pray, this time. May our hearts be cleaned and ready for this. Thank you, God, for the precious blood that was opened, that fountain filled with blood when Jesus died on the cross. May we never, Lord, remove ourselves too far away from it. In Jesus' name is my prayer made. Let's stand together, please, for a moment as the ladies play a song of invitation. And as they do, you obey the Lord tonight. Thank God for His blood. For the blood, the fountain that was opened. While we wait.